Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman, Assistant to the President. Walker, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here on the show.
And as usual, you will be keeping our Facebook viewers up to speed on the kind of stories we're dealing with, putting those stories up for them, right?
That's right. On the Today's Issues Facebook page, you can read the stories that we talk about, find the original or many of the sources there, and you can also watch the show on Facebook on the Today's Issues page. And a new thing that we just added this week is our YouTube channel. So if you're maybe not on Facebook, you can still watch the show by just visiting YouTube. And on the search bar, if you type in Today's Issues Live during the show, the one of the top results will be our live feed, so you can watch the show on YouTube also.
All right. And then Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Good morning, Fred.
As always, good to be with you.
And from Dallas, the always stirring and I would say stabilizing, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Ed. Always stirring, sometimes stabilizing.
Sometimes stabilizing, that's right.
You just... Sometimes stable, sometimes not. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a little rainy down in our neck of the woods. So, but anyway, I always tell my wife, it's a first world problem when all you got to worry about the amount of rain you're getting. So anyway, Fred Jackson, our news director, I think our listeners know what we are going to be talking about for a good portion of this first segment at least, and probably the last segment too with Steve Jordahl, and that is the latest tragedy at one of America's schools, this time down in Florida. Fred, get us started on that.
Yeah, yesterday came back from lunch. I think it was around 2 o'clock or so. And you know, up on the screen, we keep Fox News up in our newsroom. And up on the screen was a shooting in Florida. That's at that point. And you know, it's not uncommon these days to get these shooting stories. And it's a workplace event or a school shooting. And you just hope right away that it is nothing serious, that they managed to get somebody with the gun, and it's done and over with. But as this story began to unfold, it became very obvious as they started talking to some of the kids, some of the authorities that were inside this school in Parkland, Florida, that this was extremely serious. And as the hours rolled on yesterday, certainly, we learned that there were 17 fatalities, most of them students in this high school in Parkland, Florida, which, by the way, is in the Boca Raton, Fort Lauderdale area. So if you just want to park where that is in Florida, big school, 3,000 kids. The young man who has now been charged, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, is his name. And we've been able to learn a whole lot about him in the last 12 to 15 hours. First of all, he was arrested within about 2 hours after the shooting at the school. He was less than a mile away. He is a former student at the school, but he was expelled some time ago. He had fighting with a boyfriend of an old girlfriend. So he was kicked out of that school, and there were other problems with him in the past. We also learned about his family background. He was an orphan. He was adopted by a Cruz family, a mom and dad, some years before. His dad died several years ago, and his mom died about 3 months ago of an illness. At that point, a family took him in. He still had problems with this family. But it was interesting. We're learning a little bit about from his Facebook pages, his social media. Also, we're hearing testimony from some of the other students. And their testimony about what this guy was like, what they said about this guy months ago, is disturbing. That He was a bit of a troublemaker, sometimes a loner, picked fights that, and even one student said, these students talked amongst themselves saying if there was going to be a shooter at their school, it would likely be him. And that's very eerie, given what happened yesterday. So you had all of these people talking about the potential for this young man to do this kind of thing. And yesterday, their worst fears, their predictions came true. So what I want to play for you first is some of these students at this school and in Parkland, Florida, their reactions as this story began to unfold. It's cut number four.
She shot through my door. Three in my classroom got hurt. I just saw blood everywhere.
I actually heard the gunshots. I heard at least four, like boom, 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 boom.
People were running and screaming and pushing.
I hid in the tennis courts. Then we went to the locker room. We were in there for about 2.5 to 3 hours.
There was dead bodies everywhere.
And it's Valentine's Day, so this shouldn't even be happening.
We thought it was a fire drill, but we heard the shots beforehand. And I'm guessing he wanted everybody to come out.
One of my friends died, and it hasn't hit me yet.
In the hallway, I saw a big pile of blood, like kind of smeared as if they were dragged away.
I was praying to God, thinking that he could save us all and that we could make it out alive.
So Fred, evidently, everybody, and I'm using that term in a loose sense, but it was widely known. It was widely known. We haven't even gotten to the YouTube comment yet. So why didn't somebody figure this out ahead of time? Do we even know the beginning of the answer to that question?
Not yet. I mean, we're doing this Monday morning quarterback at this point. People saying, "Oh my gosh," yes, this young man had troubles in the past, and as I said, these kids have been talking about this guy for some time. Has one having the potential to do this. One thing that we have learned, too, is exactly what happened yesterday, which goes to the fact that he has now been charged with 17 charges of premeditated murder. He walked into the school where he had been expelled from. He was going to another school, but he had been expelled from this school. But he walks in. He's got an AR-15, which had been purchased legally a year ago. He walked in with this weapon. He had multiple rounds ready to be used. He also had a gas mask that was on. He also had smoke grenades with him. And what appears, and again to the point that he thought about this, what he did, he walked into the school, armed this way. He pulled the fire alarm, which, according to procedure, the kids then poured into the hallway, and that's where he carried out his deed.
Well, and as Ray mentioned, there are other facets to this that we're going to get to, because there may very well have been a clue, a warning ahead of time. So we want to talk about that. There's also a story of heroism in this. We heard these comments from these poor kids. And, the thing is, you just don't... A lot of times with young people, you don't realize, because they act so grown up in a lot of ways. You don't realize that in a lot of ways these are also still children. You could hear the terror in these children's voices. But this is 17 counts of premeditated murder. So as we talked about in our story meeting this morning, Fred, I am sure that his attorney, the attorney's got to do his or her job, which is to try to get their client off or to mitigate the amount of the consequences for this person. So I am guessing that with his troubled past, part of the game plan for an attorney is going to be to say this young man was not in his right mind. However, and again, now this is Monday morning quarterbacking. The fact, and this goes to the discussion we always have when one of these shootings happens, because there are going to be, and I think probably already have been, calls gun control. And then on the other side, you say, well, this is media related. Did this kid play violent video games? All those kinds of questions are going to be talked about as they are every single time. But the fact that a human being, troubled or not, made this calculated move to pull the fire alarm. This is not, as Tim Wildman, our president, frequently says when we discuss these kind of things, this is not a kid who was howling at the moon in his boxers. Mm-hmm. This is a young man who premeditated this entire act and figured out a way, logically, to get access to as many young people as possible by pulling the fire alarm. So this is going to be going forward a part of the discussion, and Christians have to jump in here, talking about evil and evil motivations and people acting out of a character that may or may not have been warped by life's, you know, pitfalls. But Walker, I mean, this is a discussion that Christians have to be willing to jump in on.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I know with Islamic terrorism, the main thing is let's don't rush to conclusions. You know, we may have key indicators that point a direction, but I think we all agree we should wait till the facts come out, till we start diagnosing people and stuff. And I think that's wise because, you know, I don't think everything is a mental disorder. There are evil people in the world who want to do evil things. That doesn't mean that they have a psychological disorder or disability. And I think that might be the case with this fella because, as you said, there's so many things he had to do to prepare for this. It wasn't a sporadic action, you know, off the cuff. He pulled the fire alarm. He bought the gun, prepared. So I think, but if the media and are going to start talking about evil, people being evil, then you have to recognize that there's evil in the world, which eventually leads back to Scripture and the Bible.
Well, certainly you look at a young man like this. He's troubled, right? He'd been adopted, and his father died. His mom had recently passed away. He was well known with the guns. I mean, he had guns, and he talked about it a lot. He'd been thrown out of school. So here's a fella who is deeply troubled. Because, I mean, Walker, I take your point very well. We don't know yet if he was mentally deranged, but this much is clear, Ed. He knew what he was doing. This wasn't just, I don't think, he woke up yesterday morning and said, I'm going to go do something crazy. It sounds like he planned it out almost down to the detail.
Well, and Ray, you know, you're a pastor, a minister. You preach the Bible across the country. You interact with people across the country. If you accept, and I'm not doing this to blame anybody, okay? Because as Walker said, it's wise for us to kind of wait on trying to diagnose Nicholas Cruz. However, if you, in that process, in that discussion, if you are a secular humanist, if you don't believe that people have souls, if you don't believe in the concept of evil because you don't believe in the concept of absolute truth, so you can't say that there is a category of transgression of those absolute principles of truth that would qualify you as being evil, then all you've got is mental illness. I mean, that's your go-to explanation, because there's something in the hardwiring of this young man or the environment in which he was raised that caused him to do this. You have to grasp for that explanation if there's no spirituality involved.
Well, when you come to the Bible, you have to face things like all have sinned, and the heart is deceitful above all things, and the mind is darkened. And clearly this young man, in the biblical sense, had a darkened mind so that he could not think clearly. He couldn't see clearly. And it just hit me. You know, we have these cases sometimes where the shooters, like the Las Vegas shooter, shoot the people from the hotel, then kills himself. He didn't even take his own life. So we're at least in a unique situation here where at last we have a shooter from one of these terrible crimes who's in custody now. And we can begin to ask some questions. Although, guys, I wonder if at the end of the day, is there any answer that would be sufficient to answer the question why? And I think maybe not, because there's no human explanation. The Christian explanation, Ed, as you said, is the one we go to, that we do evil things because the heart is evil. We're separated from God, and so we are darkened in our mind and in our actions. And I'm more satisfied with that than grabbing too quickly for mental illness to explain these things.
Right. And let me just add one last thing, because I do want us to get to a couple other elements of this story, and we'll turn to you for that, Fred. But let me just throw this in, and folks, I don't want to go all exorcist on us, but you know, the Bible does talk about, with Judas Iscariot, for example, said the devil filled his heart. Okay. So, you know, now there's people out there who's, they're rolling their eyes and that kind of thing. But I think Christians at least can look at that as an explanation too, because it is clear from the New Testament record that the devil sometimes suddenly fills the heart of someone who's been considering something in their darkened mind, as you're talking about, Ray, and causes them to do something that even afterwards they at times regret doing. I don't know what came over me when we hear that kind of thing. Or it was like I was watching myself in a dream. And you open that door for evil and evil thoughts, and you contemplate evil thoughts, and at some point you have opened the door, and powers stronger than you can cause you to do great harm to other people. All right, so we got some preaching in, and we looked at that. But Fred, there's another aspect to this, and some are asking whether the FBI knew about this young man's plans ahead of time.
Well, that's the social media argument on that, is that there were indications in the social media, some of his comments, as I mentioned, some students talking about this, that he which indicate a violent nature, not so much that he was laying out his plans for what happened yesterday, but goes to his character. And so all of that is going to be looked at. And again, it's kind of Monday morning quarterbacking. If people knew about this and there were exchanges, we're learning about the FBI, you know, somebody at least knowing about this.
Yeah, there was a Mississippi bail bondsman,
yes,
who noticed an alarming comment left on one of this on one of his own videos.
Right.
And a user named Nicholas Cruz, that's yes, the name of the alleged shooter. We need to follow protocol here. Alleged shooter Nicholas Cruz left a message on this Mississippi bail bondsman's video log. He's a YouTube vlogger, a video logger. And the statement was, I'm going to be a professional school shooter. Mm. Okay, this individual, the YouTuber, the Mississippi bail bondsman, alerted the FBI and emailed a screenshot. So that's going to be investigated too. Did the FBI have some advance warning, or and how often do these kinds of things get passed on to the FBI?
And this is the thing, you know, we've been critical of the FBI for other cases here, but can you imagine the number of things that they are emailed each day? Hey, you may want to look at this.
Yeah, I think my next door neighbor is a jihadist.
Yeah, right.
Come check it out.
Exactly. This Muslim moved next door to me.
Yeah.
I think you better watch him 24 hours a day.
Right.
Because he looks suspicious.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got a lot on their plate, but it's got to be looked at. It'll be part of the investigation into all of
this. Well, you got the situation here where they went to the bail bondsman. You know, he just puts a YouTube video up, and he's not responsible for who makes the comments, right?
No.
So he saw it, and by the way, let's give him kudos to him.
Yes.
Because he did exactly the right thing.
He
turned in the comment to the FBI. FBI came to him and said, do you know this guy? No, it just showed up on my feed. And then it was left in the hands of the FBI. But he did exactly the right thing. And then, Fred, that goes to your point. They get so many, they get hundreds or thousands, you would expect, so many tips. You can't follow up equally with all of them, but at least this bail bondsman, he did exactly what he should have done.
Yep. Yeah, and to your point, Ray, we often hear, and the sheriff reiterated this yesterday, and that was, if you see something, say something.
Yes.
Well, in the case, and I'm not bashing the FBI. They got a lot on their plate.
That's right.
They get, as you mentioned, probably thousands of these tips a day, but he did say something. And now, but I don't know what, we'll find out what happened with that, what the FBI did with that information. But it sounds like there's another aspect of this, and that is our law enforcement's probably overwhelmed with these tips and which ones are credible, which ones aren't. And I know last night Sean Hannity and others on his show on Fox News brought up the idea of having an armed guard in schools, you know, like a resource officer. Some schools do have that. But, of course, that's a lot of money. But we're talking about people's lives here. maybe have retired law enforcement on guard at schools, some kind of barrier to you can't stop everyone's evil actions, but you can put up preventative measures.
Well, and that's and to that point, there have been calls in other jurisdictions in the wake of these tragedies. Teachers ought to be able to have weapons, and many times you have people, teachers with concealed permits, and they're not allowed to bring the guns into school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're faced with that kind of thing. So, you know, the problem is, as you gentlemen have been discussing, there's evil in this world, and that evil is being manifested exponentially today.
Right.
In so many different places. There's one other aspect to this, and I was disappointed yesterday in the early coverage of this, before we knew how many people had been killed. The Democrat senator, one of the Democrat senators from Florida, the Democrat senator from Florida, Senator Nelson, he was interviewed on Fox, and he went right to the gun issue.
Right.
Gun laws. We got to do something. You know, Sandy Hook and all of these. And Senator Ted Cruz from Texas was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he was asked about this. And he went back to a very recent experience he had with the church shooting there in Texas. And he told the story of going to the hospital with the survivors of the shooters as some of their loved ones were being treated, et cetera, et cetera. And the gun issue came up there. So it's cut number one. I want you to hear what Senator Ted Cruz had to say about what to expect on this call for more gun controls.
I can tell you in Sutherland Springs, I was there the day after the shooting. And I was in that sanctuary that was covered with bullet holes and blood and was the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life. And when I was at the hospital with the victims' families, over and over again what they said to me in Texas, they said, gun control is not the answer here. We all had our guns. We just left them in the car out of respect for the church. If any one mm-hmm. of us had brought it in,
sure.
that gunman never would have killed any of these people. Had the Obama administration simply followed federal law and enforced the law, existing gun laws made it illegal for the Sutherland Springs shooter to buy a gun, but the Obama administration failed to report his criminal conviction, so it wasn't in the background check system.
Right.
And to that point, Attorney General Jeff Sessions this morning in a speech said, we need to be enforcing existing gun laws. We don't need new gun laws.
Right.
We need to be enforcing existing gun laws. And so what we're hearing is, and going back to the church shooting, information was not passed down, or the shooter there would not have been able to get that gun. Now, we do know so far that this young man in Florida apparently legally got this gun. I'm not sure about age limits. We know he's 19 years old. I'm not sure if there are laws on the books about how old you have to be before you buy a weapon such as he had. All of this will come out. But expect, folks, from the left, you're just going to have a barrage of renewed calls for more gun laws. And gun laws do not change the hearts of individuals.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Right. Well, I do want to mention the Mississippi Bail Bondsman, since Mississippi is the home state for our flagship station here in Tupelo, Mississippi. His name was Ben Benight. He's the one who alerted the FBI, so kudos to him. And then do want to mention as well in this story that there was a hero right now, a coach who is identified by students and parents as Aaron Feiss, I think, who at this point, we're still finding out, but may have acted as a human shield to protect some of those students. So we'll find out more about that. But these kinds of tragedies do bring out the heroic in people as well. All right, Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. We're going to take a short break. It is today's issues. Ray Pritchard, Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman. We are going to be having Jan Markell on the show after the break. We'll take a short break and we'll be back for more of today's issues here on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, that is a separate tour. Now, we put them back to back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back to back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com for the September tour information.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Another high school turned into a killing field, and the nation wonders why. Well, I'm going to answer that question for you, and the answer may leave you a bit unsettled. You see, I believe there is a God, and I also believe there is a devil, and I see his hand at work here. We've raised a generation to believe that truth is relative, there is no right or wrong, and the devil smiled. They kicked God out of public schools, banned Bibles and prayer, and the devil smiled. We've destroyed the traditional family, broken homes, raising broken kids. Our movies and music and games glorify violence and gore, and the devil smiled. What happened in Parkland, Florida, is about wickedness, a war with the forces of darkness, good versus evil. But the talking heads would have you believe this is about politics and gun control, and the devil smiled. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, who's news director for American Family News and One News Now, Walker Wildman, who's assistant to the president, from Dallas, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. You can find out more about Keep Believing Ministries at keepbelieving.com. I'll give Ray a chance at the start of the next segment to let our let you listeners know what you can find there at that website. We're going to have Jan Markell on in just a moment. Fred, before we go any further, update our listeners a little bit on the illegal immigrant issue and what's being debated in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, as you may remember, on Monday they opened debate on what to do with the president's proposals on how to immigration reform. Quickly review, president opening the door to 1.8 million dreamers, 10 to 12 year pathway to citizenship. He wants $25 billion for a wall, to complete his wall. Then he wants to put an end to what's called the visa lottery. Basically, you know, in various countries, people put their name in a hat. You get drawn, you get to come to the United States. And then the second one is what's been known as chain migration. George gets in. George gets to invite 25 members of his family also to come in. So president wants to do away with that. The main proposal that's come forward from a group of Republicans and Democrats, Republicans being led in this case by Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, their proposal looks something like this. All right, Dreamers, 1.8 million. Yeah, we like that. But here's the catch. And the White House already said, this is the stopper. It ain't going to work. They're willing to give the president his $25 billion, but over 10 years. In other words, you're only going to get $2.5 billion per year. What the White House is saying, what Homeland Security is already saying is, wait a minute. You're not going to secure the border for 10 years in this plan. That allows millions more to come into this country illegally, and they'll likely get amnesty out of all of this. So the White House has already shut the door on this. So that's where we are today. That's likely going to be voted on somewhere along the way today. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has already said the president's not going to go for this
right.
at all. So they may get the vote in the Senate on this. They may get over it because there's enough Democrats and Republicans to push it over that 50 or 51. But Mitch McConnell is saying, you know, what's the point in this? The president is simply not going to sign.
Well, this is the president's signature issue.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to veto anything that even looks remotely like it's a stall game.
Yeah.
That's what this 10-year thing is. It's,
yeah.
They're going to stall. They're going to hope that President Trump does not get reelected in 2020, or even if he does, they're going to drag this thing out, and that wall will never get built.
What's the takeaway from that?
Yeah.
The takeaway from that is that the Democrats do not want to secure a southern border.
Right.
That's it.
And some of the establishment Republicans.
That's right. They don't want to secure a southern border.
All right. Well, we're going to continue to follow that. American Family News will continue to update you through the day. One News Now, keep looking at the that website, www.onenewsnow.com. .net.org, folks. I get lost sometimes. And so we'll keep an eye on that issue for you. All right, Jan Markell is now with us on the phone, founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She's host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard on weekends on American Family Radio, Saturday from 1 to 2 at 1 o'clock Central Time, Sunday from 12 to 1, starting at 12 Central Time. Jan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Fred, what's happening in that part of the world, the Middle East, where Jan is one of our experts on it? We want to get her take on some things.
Well, Jan, since last we talked, one of the big stories coming out of that area is the bombing run that the Israeli Air Force did last weekend, going after Iranian forces inside Syria, and for the first time in over 30 years, an Israeli jet was shot down. Fortunately, the pilots were not captured. But what do you make of all of this? Listening to the experts this past several days on this is extremely significant, because you got the Russians in Syria, you got Syrian forces going after their own people and some rebels fighting that, and now you got the Iranians basically setting up a base right next door to Israel. This is just tinderbox stuff.
Yeah, that's a good term, tinderbox. And, of course, leaders within Israel, at least if they're the caliber of Benjamin Netanyahu, are warning Iran that terrible things are going to happen if this continues. I'm concerned, and I actually did some radio taping yesterday, which won't air for a little while yet, but talking about some tension over there and the fact that we could be on the verge of another major war, the last very serious war. And then there have been skirmishes, of course. There was 2014. Okay, it was a war with Gaza. There was a 2006 kind of a conflict with Lebanon, but those weren't major wars such as 1973, Yom Kippur War. But we could have another major war on the horizon, Israel versus Iran. Other players could be in there. That begs the question, is this a setup for the Gog-Magog scenario of Ezekiel 38-39? We don't know. We can speculate, and many who are kind of focusing on eschatology or Bible prophecy full-time feel that both Isaiah 17, which is the obliteration of Damascus, and Gog Magog certainly are on the horizon. Now, is horizon weeks, months, years away? It's soon, but we just don't know when.
Jan, who is the major culprit here? Is it the terrorist groups? Is it Syria? Is it Russia? Or is it Iran?
Well, I think that's a good question. I do think that it's a little bit of all of them. However, if I can just remind your listeners that in 2015, Barack Obama gave Iran billions and billions, a couple hundred billion dollars, $150 billion, I believe. And what did Iran turn around and do with that money but create weaponry and advanced terror and create chaos literally all around the world? And that's, I do believe that Iran is probably at the root of this, but Russia is playing a major role as well.
Jen, this is Walker. I know you're not a military expert, but I'm sure you have an opinion on this. As far as the U.S. being involved in the Middle East and being in Afghanistan, Iraq, doing missions, maybe flights into Syria, bombings, do you think the U.S. is kind of staying over there, when I say staying over there in those few countries I mentioned, for the sake of being able to intervene and protect Israel? Or do you think we can still protect Israel even if we don't stay in Afghanistan, Iraq, et cetera?
Well, the Trump administration, of course, is the most friendly to Israel administration in recent decades. Personally, I think as long as Donald Trump is president, I think he's going to, if I can just plain use a simple term, he's going to look out for Israel and try to see that the best result comes her way. As I speak, Prime Minister Netanyahu is in some difficulty. He's been accused of some fraudulent activity, and I just would like to stand up in defense of Mr. Netanyahu here for just one second and just say that what's happening in Israel, as the left sort of comes against more conservative leadership, which Benjamin Netanyahu is, see, Israel has a deep state just like America's got a deep state. It's leftists who are not having the country's best interest in mind. A lot of corruption going on, and those are the ones that are coming against Netanyahu for some rather minor infractions, trying to get him out of office because of these. But again, it's Israel's deep state. So we got corruption all across the globe because we don't have perfect government yet. That doesn't come until Jesus rules out of Jerusalem.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. You talk about deep state there. You will remember in the election, was it in 2014, there were Barack Obama re-election campaign people from 2012
yes.
who went to Israel with the aim of defeating Prime Minister Netanyahu in that election. They were found out.
And there was some money. Wasn't there some money?
Yes, there was.
Through?
So there was proof that our president at the time, Barack Obama, inserted himself in the Israeli election to try to defeat Netanyahu.
Sounds like collusion.
That sounds like collusion between the two deep states.
The two deep states were in cahoots with one another, and that's a sad commentary on our times. But again, we don't function very well down here. We will during the millennium and Jesus Christ ruling out of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Jan, we do have just a couple minutes left with you, and Walker made the point that you're not a military expert, so this is kind of a military question. I know you're not an expert on this, but you have, I'm sure, studied foreign policy, and you probably know more than I do for sure. But if war did break out there, and I think it's very possible because, as Fred characterized it, it is a tinderbox, but you do have countries like Saudi Arabia, Jordan, who do not like Iran being involved in their neck of the woods. You do have recently, you know, Egypt and Israel cooperating a little bit in terms of, allying against radicals. You have Turkey in there. I mean, you have Russian forces, Russian mercenaries. If there was a war, how do you see it breaking in terms of? I mean, would you have an instance where Muslim countries like a country like Saudi Arabia would join with Israel against Iranian forces? I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, it is possible. I think this is the most significant change in my lifetime, and I've studied this for a lot of years, the Middle East scenario. the most significant change is the fact that Israel has some unlikely allies all of a sudden. She's got Saudi Arabia now as an ally. She's got Jordan as an ally, Egypt as an ally. Some others, more moderate countries over there, are now Israel's ally. And this is rooted, and I think you gentlemen have hit on it here in the short discussion, and that is these countries are afraid of Iran. They're afraid of Iran's nuclear capability. They're afraid of being obliterated by Iran, and so they're kind of joining forces. And lo and behold, they're joining forces with Israel. Now, I don't think any of us ever thought we would live to see this. So, but it is what's happening. It's a very unique angle. And, you know, it begs the question, and you just raised it, if there is a war, well, my goodness, who's on which team? We got Saudi Arabia as an ally of Israel. Whoever would have thought it?
All right, Jan, let our listeners know what you've got coming up this weekend on your program.
We're going to talk about the war on truth. I think Todd Starnes kind of summed it up in his little one-minute commentary a few minutes ago. There's a war on truth. We're going to talk about it Saturday and Sunday on Understanding the Times Radio. And thank you so much, gentlemen, for the time.
All right, Jan, thank you for being with us and being our ears and eyes on this kind of issue and many more that she covers. Jan Markell has been our guest, founder of Olive Tree Ministries, host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard weekends on American Family Radio, Saturday beginning at 1 p.m. Central, Sunday heard at 12 p.m. Central Time. Jan Markell has been our guest. All right, we're going to kind of give you a little bit of whiplash, folks, and kind of change our focus to helping people, young people, children who are in desperate straits in India. And for that, we welcome to the program David Harms with India Partners. David, welcome to today's issues.
Well, I certainly appreciate the time and the opportunity to kind of shed some light on a pretty dark place in India with the red light districts.
Yes. Explain, now, some people, I know it may be hard to believe, but there are probably some people who don't know what a red light district is. Tell our people what that means and what India Partners is doing to try to alleviate some of the suffering there.
Sure. I'll be sure to not be too graphic, but basically red light districts are brothels. This is a place where girls as young as 8 or 9 and some boys are trafficked in. They are sold. They are tricked, usually from the rural areas around India. They're tricked into coming into the city so they can, quote, earn money as a housemaid and send money back, and yet that's not at all what happens. They go into the city. They are sold to an owner who traffics these girls for the sake how blunt do you want me to get? They are
for prostitution.
They're sleeping with girls for money, for prostitution. And these are 8, 9, 10, and 11, 12-year-old girls. And so the red light district is kind of a way that is used to describe these areas of certain urban areas in Mumbai and around the world, of course. But in Mumbai alone, it's estimated that there are 200,000 in one city, 200,000 underage, what are technically called commercial sex workers. It's a polite way of saying they're sold and they are being prostituted and forced against their will to be with customers so that they can make money. The owners can make money off of them. And it's tragic and it's evil and it's awful. And yet, why we're here today is to give you some perspective on that, because we are able to get them out. India Partners is a ministry that gets girls and boys and women rescued out of the red light districts. And we put them in safe houses that are operated for the purpose of healing and restoration and Jesus. And so when we've come to you in the past, we've asked you to give, and we're doing that again this year, hoping that if you can give $7.08, you're going to provide a day in one of these safe houses. And that includes everything that they would need: full room and board, full-time Christian school. Many of these girls are illiterate, so we obviously, as they go to school, they need extra tutoring. We provide that, medical attention, a lot of trauma counseling, and all done in relation to the love of Jesus, so that they have devotions every day, they memorize scriptures. These girls are getting healed in the name of Jesus in these safe houses. So That's what we've been talking about and asking people to jump on board if you can financially and support the work of these safe houses at $7.08 a day.
Let me ask a question to go back to the first part of your story. These girls come in from the country into the city.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is happening in a big way, places like Mumbai and other cities over there in India. Is this a case where the authorities don't know, don't care? Are they being paid off? Or how does it happen on such a large scale in these cities?
Well, I mean, it's a hard question to answer, except to say that there is a lot of turning the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of that. I mean, prostitution in India is not illegal. Now, under 18, it is technically illegal, but this is where some of the frustration comes in, is that it's still happening, and it doesn't seem to be getting any less. And so it typically happens that way. And when nowadays a girl who may be 14 or 15 years old, they don't know if she's 18 or 19 sometimes by the way they look and by the way they make them up. And so it just kind of happens. Well, and it's very difficult to get them out, but we are. And I've got some good news to share about that, too.
Well, tell us more. We want to hear the good news, because this is horrific what's happening.
Hey, before we do that, Walker, let our listeners know what we're asking them to do today and how they can do it.
Yes. What we're asking our listeners to do is to come alongside India Partners and American Family Radio and provide safety for these children, safety for the children, the young boys and girls who are caught up in the red light districts and the prostitution. Here's what you can do. Here's what we're asking. $7.08 will provide one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light districts. $100 will provide about 2 weeks of safety, and $212 will provide about a month of safety for one child in need. So your money goes directly to India Partners, and it provides days of safety. It provides food, shelter, and care, and, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the children in need. So that's where your gift goes, and here's how you can give, and then we'll get back into this subject. You can call 877-616-2396. The phone number to call is 877-616-2396, or you can visit our website, afr.net.
It's Fred Jackson here, David. We heard from one of your colleagues this morning, John Sparks.
Yes.
And he has been visiting with us today. And along with the wonderful part of the ministry that rescues these kids who come from very impoverished backgrounds, one of the things he brought up in his address to the staff here this morning was one of the other tremendous benefits is that you educate these kids in these facilities that you've built there in various parts of India. You educate these kids. So these are kids from extreme poverty where they have no chance of being educated, but you educate them. And he talked about some of these kids going on to work in big banks in India, high tech, changing the whole trajectory of that family. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of the things that we make sure we do, and it may sound kind of simple, but we teach the kids English. They grow up learning English right from the get-go as soon as they come into our safe houses. Just by knowing English, that puts them leaps and bounds ahead economically as they get ready to transition when they're older out of the safe houses. That in and of itself is a huge advantage economically to them and their job search when they leave the safe house. Because they do come in many times just totally illiterate. They don't know how to write their name. And there are so many different languages in India that if we can teach them English as we do, then that gives them a definite head start and a leg up, really, when they leave, because they are working in biochemistry. I talked to a boy that was rescued 20 years ago. He's now in bioengineering. I mean, it's just crazy the amazing things that happen when a child is told their rights, that they do not have to be sold, that they have rights, that they can be safe in these safe houses. And the good news is people call the number is that it's been working. This is the exciting part for me. And by the way, can I give the phone number again?
Absolutely.
I just want people to
do it.
It's 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. And there's a banner and a link and info at afr.net. Here's what it was. I was there just a couple of weeks ago, and we sat down with the team and we said, okay, tell us about 2017. Tell me the progress, what's been happening. And they pulled out these wonderful charts. It was great. And because of the funding coming in from AFR, there was a little bit of a shift done last year that has been incredibly effective. Because of your generosity in the past, we've been able to take our team and set them up in the red light districts, not 2 days a week like we could do before, but now 5 days a week, and we added some more staff. So now we have an extremely strong presence in the red light district every single day, Monday through Friday, establishing the relationships, teaching things like sewing and craft making and cooking and these kind of things so that these women can feel and these girls can feel like they have a trade when they can get out, right? Just start them with some kind of hope that they don't have to do what they're doing, that they can make money other ways. So we do that, and in the process of the relationship, because we're now in there 5 days a week with more staff, in 2017, we've been able to rescue twice as many women as the year before. Twice as many women are out because directly linked to the money that you've given in previous campaigns. We would not have been able to staff it up. We've not been able to expand really in these red light areas without your funding. And so I wanted to thank you for in previous years giving at $7.08. And as well, we've been able to establish a bigger safe house for the girls and now another boys' home. We're looking to complete that purchase and expansion for the boys' home, that we've got these safe houses. This is incredible what's happening. And we can't thank you enough because I want to give you the good news that we're starting to win. There is progress made. We just have to keep it up now. And if we can keep adding into more and more red light areas, this kind of system, we can rescue more women. We can put them in safe houses. They can come to know Jesus. They can be healed and they can get educated and they can move on and really change India from the inside out.
Well, folks, you have heard that challenge, and that's what it is. It's a challenge to our listeners. Because this is the work of Christ. It is the preaching of the gospel, but it is also the rescuing of people out of very, very dark situations. We're asking you today, the rest of this week, in fact, to give to this partnership, to India Partners. The number to call is 877-616-2396. The number to call, 877-616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net. We are asking you to provide day or days of safety, rescue, care for these children to escape the red light areas of Mumbai. And so we are asking you to do that. Go to afr.net. You can find out more if you want to learn more about what we're doing. David, we're short on time. Let me just ask you one quick question here, because John Sparks mentioned this morning that your staff and the people who are helping these young people walk a very, very fine line with authorities.
Yes.
But authorities do seem to recognize that these Christian outreaches are doing things that the government can't do or won't do.
Yeah, I mean, it really is true. It is a fine line. We're very, very, very careful with that. But what's happening is as this love of Christ is just permeating through this area, it obviously, it connects people. They want it. And so you can't argue with the love of Jesus when you see it expressed in these ways. And so we're making this progress and the safety that's happening, the government is noticing, and it's been a good thing for the gospel.
Okay, David.
We're careful with it, but it's been a very good thing.
20 seconds. Give the number and the website again for people to call.
Call 877 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, and AFR.net has a banner to click on that and give that way.
David Harms with India Partners. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you much.
All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. When we come back, Steve Jordahl and more of what is happening around the country and around the world. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.